This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Allahumma iftah masami'a qulubina li dhikrik. Ya Allah, open the hearing channels of our hearts to your remembrance. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا الله, show us truth as the truth and make us to follow it. And show us falsehood as falsehood and inspire us to stay away from it. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. يا الله, make us among those who listen to the words of admonition and follow the best of them. So welcome back again, my dear brothers and sisters, to our Quran study class. Today we will be covering Surah number 78, which is Surah An-Naba. As you know, this is a Makkan Surah. We have been covering the Makkan Surahs and revelations and trying to look at it through the seerah of what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions were going through in the early part of Islam, the difficulties they were facing, the challenges, the denial, the persecution, etc. So as we have mentioned before, one of the most challenging concepts for the Quraysh of Mecca was to accept resurrection, accept that there is life after death, to accept that dead and decayed bones will be brought back to life, and that all of the systems of this universe, which appear so permanent, will be destroyed, as the early Quranic ayats in early Meccan period were talking about. So they not only didn't accept it, but they challenged it and they ridiculed. They weren't serious about trying to find out the truth, but they sort of joked about it. So the word An-Naba essentially is translated as news. It actually means news that is important. It's not like any other news. You know, the word khabar is also used in the Quran in a few places for news. But when the word naba is used, it means it's something important. It is consequential. And generally, it requires some action in response to this news. It's not just sort of vague information which has no consequences. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a naba, it already means this is something about an event or a news that has great impact and for which, in response to which, people have to do something. So we start this surah with the first five ayats. These are ayats in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing with sort of displeasure how the kuffar are dealing with this great truth, with this great event that's going to happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a serious threat. So the first five ayats we will cover as the first part. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عم يتساءلون عن النبأ العظيم الذي هم فيه مختلفون كلا سيعلمون ثم كلا سيعلمون. Amma Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Amma yatasa'alun. Amma means an ma, about what? Yatasa'alun means two people or two parties asking each other. So there is an exchange. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, about what are they asking each other? Amma yatasa'alun. Now, the general understanding of who is asking who is that this refers to the kuffar of Makkah, the Quraysh, asking each other, not, you know, generally when we ask questions, it is to find out the truth. But there's another way, when we question something, it is to make fun of it, to joke about it, to ridicule it. And that's what is implied in this, that they are not serious about finding out the truth, they want to ridicule it because they disbelieve in it. So that's the understanding, that the kuffar are asking each other. There is some other mufassirun who have said that it can also mean that the kuffar are asking the believers, you know, what is this that you are talking about? And there's another opinion that it could be both the kuffar and the believers asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it. But the rajih, the preferred opinion, is the first one, that the kuffar asking each other, because this becomes obvious later on by the context in which this is said. Amma yatasa'alun anin naba'il azim. They are asking about an naba, this great event or news which has great significance and importance. It's already great. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala adds the adjective to make it even more. He says, al-azim, that it is truly great. It has huge impact. Because when we think about the Day of Judgment, all of the existence that we have in this universe from the time it was created will be funneled through the Day of Judgment to reach its eternal end. So that's the importance of this. Alladhi hum fihi mukhtalifun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are asking about this great event regarding which mukhtalifun. They have ikhtilaf, mutual ikhtilaf. The word used here is a noun, and nouns are permanent. In other words, they have always or permanently been in dispute. And they have many conjectural opinions about the Day of Judgment, for example, and the hereafter. In different faiths, as we've mentioned before, one position is to deny that there is no Day of Judgment, there is no hereafter. Then there is that if it's going to happen, you know, we are going to be fine, there's no problem, because I have wealth, I have connections, just like I got through this life, I'll get through that day. Then there are others who have belief in reincarnation and other beliefs. So there are so many different conjectural positions, because it's of the ghaib, it's the unseen. So there is no science that's going to prove this. So unless there is divine revelation telling us what is going to happen, every other opinion is just a conjecture, it's a guess. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they have many different opinions. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses his displeasure at this disbelief and at this ridicule. He says, "Kalla sayalamun." Now, the word "kalla" has some element of scolding, of severity. So, if you read it as "kalla" and you stop there, that means it's a command to stop. Stop doing what you're doing. The other way, if you say "kalla sayalamun," then it means no, indeed. You are wrong in your beliefs, in your conjectures, and in your rejection. Sayalamun. They will come to know. Sa in the beginning is short for sawfa, which means in the near future. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, they are wrong indeed, and this is the threat. Soon, very soon, they will come to know. What will they come to know? About the truth of this Day of Judgment. But when they come to know, because it is a certainty, at that time it will be too late to do anything. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. And then Again, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ a second time. Now, in general, as we've mentioned before, in the Quran, when things are repeated, it is for ta'kid, for stressing, to stress the point, to authenticate it and to make it certain that this is going to happen. However, in this case, some of the mufassirun have said that it can have another meaning. That means, كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ no, soon they will find out. The first one is, what will they find out? Yes, there is a day of judgment. And the second one, كَلَّا ثُمَّ سَيَعْلَمُونَ that they will soon find out that there is a Jahannam in which they will soon abide. So there are two warnings in this. This is another way of looking at it, and Allahu Alam, that they are warned. What will they find out? That there is a day of judgment and there is Jahannam. Because anyone who denied the day of judgment is going to Jahannam. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses, changes the rhyme, rhythm from moon and to a different rhyme, a rhythm of the Quran, because the topic changes. This is one of the styles of the Quran, because all we had so far, if we were talking about yatasa'alun, mukhtalifun, say'alamun, this rhythm. Now we are going to go to the next 10 or 11 ayats, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. So the rhyme changes because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now changing and He is addressing the believers who doubt the Day of Judgment. He's saying, you doubt and you argue that who could possibly do all that you are saying. You are saying that the skies will be torn apart, that the sun will be darkened and the universe will collapse and the mountains will be made to disappear. So who has the power to do that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this by saying, look at the evidence of the power of Allah, His rububiyah, His creative will. Look at His might by giving these examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you know who you are talking about? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let's go back to where we started here. Yeah. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking a question. This is a rhetorical question for which no answer is given, because the answer is so obvious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Have we not made the earth a mihad, spread it out like a bed, like a cradle, a place of rest for you? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it a bed. It's implied now, you also make a bed to rest. Look at the bed that Allah has made. Compare your power with the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادَ. And He has made the mountains, أَوْتَاد are like pegs that are buried into the earth for stability, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, to keep the earth from getting a shimmy, from shaking as it spins around at that tremendous speed. Allah has put it in there as counterweights, just like we have on our wheels. You know, we do wheel balancing with little lead weights so that it doesn't vibrate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put mountains. He's called them awtad, that these are pegs that Allah has put into the earth compared to your pegs. Like when you establish your tents, you put pegs in to stabilize them. Look at your pegs and look at the pegs that Allah has put. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And we have created you in pairs. Pairs of all kinds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He created everything in pairs. All kinds of pairs, all kinds of companionship, whether it's in the plant kingdom, whether it's in the animal kingdom, whether it's in the human kingdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has paired everything. There is only Allah alone who is without companion, without partners, without pair. Allah has paired the day and the night. Allah has paired the skies with the earth. Allah has paired life with death, besides the pairs of males and females, for companionship, for reproduction, for different roles. All of it written into the codes of every, genetic codes of everything, into the chromosomes of who is going to be a male and female. Similarly, the implication here is that if everything is in pairs, don't you think the dunya has a pair, and the pair of dunya is akhirah. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. And we have made for you naum, your sleep, as your subata. Subata means something that cuts you off, that separates you. Means it cuts you off from what? It cuts you off, separates you from your work. Means it's a time for rest. Work ends, and that's normal people in normal working environment, except the night shifts and so on and so. But that's normal. And also, as we know, there is a separation in the night, in your sleep, of the soul from the body. His souls are taken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and return. So, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. And we have made the night like a garment. And it's such a beautiful description, because the night comes and it covers everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that if you think you are so smart, and can you even remove this garment from you? Can you remove the night? No matter how many lights you light, you can't remove the night. You can't take off this libas. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we've made this as a libas over you for your comfort and to give you rest. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And we have made the day for your ma'ash, for your livelihood, that most people go out in the day to earn a living. Also, the nahar, the daylight, is what creates living, because if there was no daylight, if there was no nahar, no sunlight, there would be no plants, there would be no animals, there would be no life left. So that also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implies in this. Then he says, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا. وَبَنَيْنَا, we have fashioned, فَوْقَكُمْ, always reminding us, above you, سَبْعًا شِدَادًا, the seven mighty ones. And what is meant by the seven mighty ones? The seven heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we have created this roof over you, this dome over you. And you also create roofs in your homes and in your tents. Compare Allah's dome, this فَوْقَكُمْ, seven layers, seven mighty heavens above you. And not only that, and in it, وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَهَّاجًا. And we have made in it a siraj. Siraj generally means a lamp, something that emits light. But in general, in the Quran, it's always used for, majority of the time, for the sun. Sirajan, this light. Wahaja, wahaj means it's a hyperbolic mubalagha of something that's brilliant and blazing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this sun for us in the heavens, and He tells us about it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ مَاءً ثَجَّاجًا. And we have caused to descend, أَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, from the مِنَ الْمُعْصِرَاتِ, from the مُعْصِرَات are the heavy, saturated, moisture-laden clouds that can no longer hold their water. And it's going to come down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we have sent down, anzalna, from the rain clouds that are being squeezed together, thajjaja, ma'an thajjaja, ma, water, thajjaj means something that is in great abundance, a heavy outpouring of torrential rain. And as we know, water is the source of all life. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds this rain, we have famine, we have dry, we have everything dies. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends too much of it, we also have destruction and floods. So He has sent it down in the right portions for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and by sending down this rain, what does it do? لِنُخْرِجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا. For the purpose of bringing out from this earth, نُخْرِجَ, we have taken out, خُرُوج, بِهِ, with this water. حَبْ is all forms of grain, corn, wheat, rice, whatever, oats. When nabat is all green vegetation, vegetables, plants for human beings, for animals. Wa jannatin alfafa. In jannat, you know, gardens. Alfafa means thick, very, very intertwined green trees and foliage, dense forests, alfafa, and dense vegetation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat is reminding the kuffar and reminding us of all of these signs of His qudra, of His might, from the heavens to the sun, to the winds, to the clouds, to the rain, to the night and day, all of these, that it's also a reminder of His favors in the universe. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, and all this is for you. Nawmakum, fawqakum, for you. So that you can recognize Him who sustains and provides for you. Now look at His power. Then compare that with your weakness, your inability, your helplessness, your complete dependence on Him. Then, do you still doubt that the one who did all of this does not have the power to change all of what that you see as permanent and stable, destroy it completely, and then recreate it? Not only recreate it in a different form, but to recreate you, and then to take you to account. So this is the argument. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't directly say, but He gives this evidence, and look who you're talking about. Look at the power. So do you still doubt that this cannot happen? Isn't it easier for the one to create than to destroy? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into, in the next part of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to the Day of Judgment. He returns to that question. What are you disputing about? What are you asking about? Was after describing who it is who is going to do this, he goes back to the Day of Judgment. He said, do you really want to know? Do you really want to ask sincerely? Do you want to debate? Then let me explain the details of this event to you. So that first, now comes that answer to that first warning. Kalla sayalamun. No, you will indeed soon come to know. What will you come to know? Inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, indeed, the day, inna yawm al-fasl. Yawm al-fasl means the day, this is one of the names of the Day of Judgment, that the day of sorting out, of separation, the day of decision, where even families will be separated, which is signified where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as we've covered in previous surah, that the parents will be separated from the children and the spouse from each other. Everyone would be alone, lonely in a gathering of billions. You're in the presence of billions of people, yet you're all alone. And your concern is only one, yourself. Nafsi, nafsi. Inna yawm al-fasli kana miqata. Miqat means it's, in Arabic it's called zarf zaman, means it's something that's fixed in time. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this yawmul qiyamah, yawmul fasl, day of sorting out, is already decided. It cannot be moved forward. It cannot be postponed. It is a certainty. It will happen, but it will only happen on its appointed time. And that time has been appointed. Now, frequently, at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both the disbelievers, of course, didn't believe, but even the believers sometimes used to come. And today, people ask, you know, when will be the day of judgment? Which is the wrong question. Because as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself responded, he says, in the ilm, the knowledge of this is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody knows. What you should be asking, what your concern should be, not when it is, but what and how have I prepared for it? That's the correct position, the correct question to ask. What have I prepared? That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to this sahabi who asked, when is the day of judgment? A Bedouin came. He said, what have you prepared for it? That's the more important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that is the day of decision. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. The day will be heralded in, will begin. يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ, with the blowing of the sur, which is translated as the trumpet or the horn. Of course, this is nothing like what we know. And as we know, this is the second blowing of the trumpet. The first blowing by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angel that's appointed for this job, Israfil. The first blowing will destroy everything, but this particular Yanfuqu Fissur is referring to the second one, because of the siyaq, the context, because now people are gathering, coming out. So the second blowing will cause people to be resurrected. And the Prophet ﷺ taught us that between the first blowing and the second are 40. And he left it like that. 40 years, 40 months, 40 weeks, 40 days, he left it. Means there is a period of time. And we don't have to get into that. Again, the important question is, what have we prepared for the day of resurrection? فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. تَأْتُونَ means, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about them. They ask, now he is second, as a mukhatib to the second person. تَأْتُونَ, you will come forth. Because now, this gets you more attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you, they who were doubting and questioning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now addressing them, you will come forth. Ta'tuna afwaja. Afwaja is a plural of fawj, which means large groups. Large groups of people. You will come in throngs, in armies. And there are many different descriptions of how this sorting is going to be. One sorting is, people with their Nabi, with their messenger, people of the right, people of the left, people in the forefront. So generally, if you break it down, you will be gathered with those who you wanted to be with, who you chose to imitate and befriend in the dunya. So gathering on that day is not going to be based on blood. It's not going to be based on economics or color. It's going to be based on deeds and faith. Who you chose to be like. The choices you make in this dunya will decide in which group you will be gathered on that day. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you will all emerge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a special rain at the time of the blowing of this trumpet that will come in the hadith that comes. And it will fall in the earth and people will resurrect just rise up. There's not going to be a growth period like we have in our first creation, from a child to a, you know, young adult to an adult. Suddenly as adults, as a new creation, from the tailbone, wherever it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect immediately. And then the angels will be heralding them to, you know, into different groups, sorting out. No confusion, who's going where. No commotion. Even though people will be running crazy, you know, because of what's happening. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ. The heavens, the seven heavens he described before, as the mighty seven heavens above, سَبْعًا شِدَادًا, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ. They will be opened. They will be stripped away. They will be split. They will be torn apart. And we go over this over and over in various surahs. You know, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ كُشِتَتْ, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ, إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ فَطَرَتْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks over and over that the heavens will not exist as they do now. As they exist now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, look at it, He says, هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورِ. Is there any defect, any crack, anything? ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. Look again with your eyes. Your eyes will get fatigued, you'll find no defect. But on that day, it will be completely different. It will be opened. فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. And it will become like doors, like gates. Completely different. For what purpose? Because all of those billions of creatures, the angels that have lived in those heavens, will descend through those gates, disciplined to line up for the Day of Judgment, as will come later on. وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. And the same mountains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, look at these strong pegs, سُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ, they will be moved away. They like something that's easy to move, you know, like a ball that you roll. Instead of the massive, sturdy, stabilizing things, this is the strongest thing on the earth. And now they've said they've seen bigger than Everest mountains on Mars. All of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will be moved just like a cloud of dust. وَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. Saraba is a mirage. Means you think, am I seeing real or is it not? Was it an optical illusion? Where are they now? All these huge mountains. How are they moved? How did they disappear? Just like a dust cloud, poof, gone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the intensity for the doubters. You will soon find out. كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. This is what's going to happen. This is the Day of Judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the next 10 ayats talks about the second warning of what's after this, what is the end? Is Jahannam. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. So the next, the fourth part of the surah is dealing with descriptions of Jahannam. Warning number two. What is Jahannam? Some of its characteristics and the characteristics of those who are the rightful residents of Jahannam. Inna Jahannam kanat mirsada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed, Jahannam kanat mirsada. Mirsad means something that is waiting to ambush. You know, ambush? To surprise and pounce on something and grab it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, indeed, Jahannam has been given a form that it was waiting. It has already been created. It's waiting in ambush to pounce on the disbelievers. And when you pounce on something, what happens? That object gets taken by surprise. And just like a mouse is going and suddenly a cat grabs it. So they'll be plucked by Jahannam suddenly like this because they didn't believe in it. That's why it's a surprise. Who is it waiting for? لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبَ. Those who had طُغْيَان, and طُغْيَان means rebelliousness, transgression, exceeding all bounds, the tyrants. And this is an internal state, you know, you feel that rebelliousness inside. Who can tell me what to do? I am going to do whatever I want. I am defiant against all divine laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is the kind, this is the type, this is the characteristic for which the Jahannam is waiting. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam describes that on the day of judgment, Jahannam will be brought and it would want to come and grab all the kuffar and disbelievers and sinners even before the judgment. So there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned 70,000 angels to hold it back with reins. You know, just like you hold back a horse that's ready to jump forward, or an attack dog, you're holding it back. Angels have to hold back. 70,000 means so fierce is this fire, so angry is the fire to grab anyone who denied my Rabb. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, wait, let the judgment take place. So for those ta'ghun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلْطَاغِينَ مَآبَ. مَآبَ means a place to stay, a home to live. That's going to be their home for the ta'ghun. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابَ. لَابِثِينَ means to stay for a long time. They will stay فِيهَا, in it, in the Jannah. أحقاب. أحقاب is the plural of حقب. And حقب is a long period of time. There are different opinions on it. The most accepted or popular opinion is that of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, karamallahu wajh, who said that أحقاب is 80 years. And each day of those 80 years is 1,000 years. So that's one huqab. So if it was one huqab, it would still be finite. It would end. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, as Hasan al-Basri says, Allah said, ahqaba, means one huqab followed by another. One huqab, so that the dwellers of this Jahannam will feel after that 80,000 years of one huqab, that, oh, now it's going to end, then the next huqab starts. Hopes are dashed. Then the next. So it is an eternal Jahannam for some people. And of course we know that some believers will also transition into Jahannam for a period of time and be brought out based on their sins. May Allah protect us all from it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is where you are going to be for eternity, for ahqab. Now, what is going to happen when you are in this hot environment? لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا. They will not taste. Now, when you are in that heat, what do you want? You want cool. You want something to drink. Remember how it hot, when it gets really hot, what you want? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, there is لا يَذُوقُونَ. They will not even taste it. Forget about having it. No taste, not even the slightest inclination of bardan, of coolness. There is no taste of coolness, only the blazing fire from all sides, as has been described, from the right, from the left, from the front, from the back, below and above, walls of fire. No coolness. وَلَا شَرَابَ. And there is nothing to drink. But then there is an exception. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. There is something to drink. حَمِيم is boiling, scalding water. You drink that, it will burn inside. Now, sometimes we have a hot cup of tea, it burns your mouth, it stays like that, things hanging from your mouth inside for 3 or 4 days, and food becomes tasteless. Imagine that burning the mouth, burning everything inside, but you're not going to die. Hamimau, that's one drink, menu number one. Ghassaq, Ghassaq is a putrid, rotten, foul-smelling liquid that is the product of the pus and blood that's oozing from the wounds of the dwellers of Jahannam. They will be bleeding and there will be pus coming out, and that's going to be, that's what the only liquid there to drink besides boiling water. Now, do you think that's excessive? Sometimes person will say, what? Why so much? Why so much? Jaza'un wifaqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, jaza'un wifaqa. Jaza'an, as you know, jaza means recompensation, recompense or compensation or payback. You know, jazakallahu khair, may Allah pay you, may compensate you with this goodness. Jaza'an, this drink, this condition is a jaza, is a payback for what? For your deeds. What kind of deed? Wifaqa. Wifaq means something that is exactly fitting and fair. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that all of the severe punishments are a fair and just compensation for their deeds. There is no injustice. There is no excess. It is exactly what they deserve, with no unfairness of any kind, no exaggeration. What is their characteristic? إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. That they are those who did not hope for or expect or anticipate that there is going to be a hisab, an accounting, so they could lead their lives whichever way they wanted. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. And they expressed their internal tughyan externally by denying the truth. They belied and called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat falsehood and lies. فَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. Our ayats, our signs in the universe, the ayatul kawniya in the universe, some of which were mentioned about the heavens and the sun and the moon and the rain and all of that, all of those, as well as the ayat which were revealed in the kitab, in the Quran, they belied them, they denied them. They called it falsehood. They attacked it. And that happened then, and it happens now. Kidhaba means with special denial and opposition, with great vehemence, with great severity, they denied. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, every single thing, every action, every word, ahsaynahu, means has been recorded accurately. It has been written down. Not only recorded, it is preserved and protected in writing, in a kitab, in a book of records. Nothing is lost, nothing is missing, nothing will be misplaced or assigned to someone wrongfully. There is no confusion. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that there is no escape. There are consequences. Every single thing is going to be recorded. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. And this is talking, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is putting this stamp on the people of Jahannam. فَذُوقُوا, it will be said to them, taste the adab. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. Taste all of you the adab. And this, the way it is done without, it's not saying Allah will tell them taste. It will be said to them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not feel that they're worthy enough for His name to be mentioned there with them. He said, it will be said to them in a passive way. He does not even use His name, that He will say to them. He will, as elsewhere in the Quran He says, He will not address them. He will not look at them. He will not purify them, which means he will not forgive them. And according to the majority opinion of our ulama, they will not even get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even that ultimate privilege, they will be deprived, because that's the ultimate prize of the believers in Jannah. Why should the disbeliever even be allowed to have a glance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do with them. The angels, the Jahannam will take them just like that. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا ذَابًا. So nothing will be increased for you. نَزِيدَكُمْ. We will not increase anything for you except adab. The only thing that will be increasing for you is the punishment. Just like in Jannah, every moment the pleasure increases. Jannah is not static. It's infinite, and the pleasures are infinite. Every moment changing. Similarly, in Jahannam, the punishment, the suffering is not static. It is ever escalating. Just when they think it cannot get worse, it will get worse, because it's infinite in its level of intensity, of torment and suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it's only going to be increased. According to the majority of Mufassirun, they said this is the most shadeed, severe ayah in the entire Quran regarding the punishment of Jahannam, because it promises only further increase in punishment endlessly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from being the recipients of this. The severest ayah in the entire Quran. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. The only thing that will increase for you is the punishment. Then in contradistinction to this, in contrast to this, in the next 5 or 6 ayats, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of Jannah and their success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازًا. Now he doesn't mention believers here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed for the muttaqeen. So he's taking a higher level. Muttaqeen, these promises that are coming, are specified for those who have taqwa, who were careful of their observation of what Allah has prescribed, what he has commanded. And they took precautions and kept away from what Allah has proscribed, what he has forbidden, out of fear of Allah's displeasure, out of fear of his punishment. And therefore they led their lives carefully, constantly conscious of Allah's commands and his prohibitions, and always conscious of the fact that Allah is ar-raqib. He is always watching over them. Inna lil-muttaqina, for these people, mafaza, bliss, security, anything good that you can think. Hada'iqa. وَأَعْنَابَ. حَدَائِقَ means private gardens. وَأَعْنَابَ, of special grapes and vineyards at a heavenly level. You know, we only know vineyards and grapes of the dunya level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying there are special gardens, special fruits, special vineyards. He still calls them anab or grape. What else is promised for them? وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. كَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. Exquisitely beautiful, eternally youthful, untouched companions that are specially created for each one of you, whose beauty and youthfulness will never show any sign of aging. أَتْرَابَ, equal in age with the inhabitants of Jannah, who according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be at the peak of their youth, and that peak is 33 years, in that range. So their companions will be of the same age. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the drinks of the people of Jahannam. Here كَأْسًا, كَأْس is the cup, دِهَاقًا, overflowing, spilling over with the abundance of exquisite, special, sparkling drinks that Allah Jalla wa'ala has created for the dwellers of Jannah. Special drinks. And the ultimate, that Allah Himself will give sharaban tahura, a pure drink, to his servants. Allah is the host of Jannah, and you are the guests. What a host. وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا. In the Jannah, they will hear no lagu, no vile talk, no vain talk, kidhaba, no lies, no ridicule, nothing, no words that hurt you, no idle conversation, no hate speech. All that you used to hear that you were subjected to in the dunya for standing up and practicing your deen, from the Islamophobes of every age, all the ridicule, all the taunting, all the denial, all the curse, none of that. That was for here. And you withstood that. You had sabr with that. Now, no lagu and no lies for you. Jaza'un wifa. Jaza'un min rabbika ata'an hisaba. Now, there is a jaza also, recompense. Just like there was jaza'un wifaqa, the appropriate, exactly matched recompense for the people of Jahannam. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies the jaza. Jaza'un min rabbika, from your Lord. Now Allah's taking people close. Not only saying, everybody's, he's saying, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from your Lord. Means your Lord, this is now making it extra special, will give a compense to your ummah, to your believers. Special honor is stressed. Ata'an hisaba. Ata' is to give in abundance. Ata'an hisaba is to give and give and give beyond what you deserve, to the point of sufficiency, and not only sufficiency, but so much that finally the recipient says, enough, I don't want any more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give like that. Then, after this brief description of the people of Jannah and what happens there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes, going back again to the inevitability and truth of the Day of Judgment, going back to Yawm al-Qiyamah, because that's how the surah started, and ends the surah where it started, as a question with its answer and a direct stern warning that Allah Himself warns people who deny it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَ الرَّحْمَنِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. The Lord who is in charge, the Lord of the heavens and earth and everything in between, that you know, that you don't know of its existence, everything in the created realm, everything besides Allah Himself. And he puts, who describes himself by his name, Ar-Rahman. Do you doubt his power? Do you doubt his qudra? Do you doubt his might? Of course not. But then he puts Ar-Rahman, the specially merciful, the source of all mercy. Putting his name here, even at this point when he's warning, showing that he still has and always had infinite and has, will continue, infinite rahmah. And therefore he still leaves hope of his rahmah and forgiveness open, even for the disbelievers to still turn back. La yamlikuna minhu khitaba. Nobody will have permission on that day to speak, to address anyone. Now imagine 1,000 billion, a trillion people gathered in one place. Pin drop silence. Even more greater number of angels lined up rows upon rows in reverent awe and fear. No one is authorized. Look at this awesome event. Just imagine a place where you can see only people and angels. Absolute silence. There is no permission for anyone to speak at this point. No one is authorized to utter a sound or speak a word without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. you will be spoken to that day. No authorization to speak or present excuses, even if you want. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّةً. The day that الرُّوح, and الرُّوح here is understood as in most places of the Quran, as Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, Ruh al-Amin, Ruh al-Qudus, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him, Ruhana, Ruh from us. It's called him Rasul al-Kareem. That he and all the angels assembled Saffa in straight rows. Because the Lord of creation is descending. The arsh is being brought. And they are standing in rows. Most places in the Quran, it says, Malaikata wa ruh. Here it says, Ar-ruhu wal malaika. Because Ar-ruh, the importance of Jibreel alayhi salam, because he is one of the key witnesses of this day. Because he is the one who brought revelation to people. He is the one who instructed the Anbiya. He is the one who is in charge. So importance is given that he will be there and all other angels will be there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفَّا لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ. Even they will not say anything. إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Except the one who is given permission by Ar-Rahman. And when given that permission, وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Only truth, only brief sawab. Truth. Only truth will be spoken that day. That's the scene. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, that day is the day of truth. The day is true. It is a day that is certain. Yawmul Haqq. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. Since that is the day of truth, the truth day, let whoever want, whoever believes, whoever wants, take مَآبًا, take his way back to his رب. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. Make his way back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, go back to your Lord. What does that mean? Return to your Rabb with tawbah, with obedience in your lives. And then the last ayah, Inna anzarnakum adhaban qareeba. Inna, indeed we warn you all of a punishment that is near, qareeb. Remember? Sayalamun, soon you will know. Again, Allah is enforcing that it is near. Because the qiyamah, the little qiyamah starts as soon as we die. We could be 10 minutes away from it. We could be a day away from it or 5 years away from it. The qiyamah will start as you die, the little qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Inna andarnakum adhaban qareeba. We are warning you. In other words, if you think, oh kuffar, oh, this man is just saying, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is warning us. Allah is saying, no, we are warning you of this day. It is not Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are warning you of a punishment, of a torment that is indeed near. What will happen? يَوْمَ يَنْذُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. On that day where every person, yanduru, will see. What will he see? Ma qaddamat yada. What he has sent forward with his yad, with his hands. It's a metaphorical means. What do you send forward with your hands? Your deeds. That everyone will see that record of that's recorded, mentioned earlier, of every deed. Sent forward means what you did here is recorded and sent to the... for the day of judgment, to the akhirah. What everyone will see, everything that they have sent forward, advanced in their lives. And when they see that, and they see that this is a reality, what will be the reaction? وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. And on that day, the kafir will say, Ya laytani. Ya laytani is the Arabic expression of extreme regret, of extreme hopelessness. Woe, it's translated as woe unto me, means I am destroyed. Ya laytani. I wish I had done something. Ya laytani. Greatest expression of regret. What? I wish kuntu turaba. I wish I was dust. The disbeliever will wish on that day that he was dust. Many interpretations. One thing of dust was that since we are created from dust, that I had never been created. So there would be no judgment. I was still dust, left as dust. Another interpretation is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that on the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect the animals and he will make the hisab, the horned animal versus the unhorned who has harmed each other. Allah will make all of their hisab and then he will say, become dust, and they will become dust. And the disbelievers would have seen that and they would say, I wish I was also turned into dust like these animals, so there would be no Jahannam. There's another opinion, which is an interesting opinion. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ. Who is the ultimate kafir? Iblis. That Iblis, who now sees the real truth, says, كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. I wish I too was from dust. And I wasn't created from the fire. Then I wouldn't have had the arrogance. And I would not, it would not have been operational. And I would not end up in Jahannam. That's another opinion, Allahu Alam. But the majority opinion is that disbelievers will say, I wish we were dust, so we would not be subjected to the punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us. He has, in this beautiful style, first taking the disbelievers to task, scolding them for their doubt, giving us about the certainty of Day of Judgment, talking about his rububiyah, his might, his ability to do all of that, giving us the two scenarios, the two end stages of Jahannam and Jannah, and then again warning us that, look, this day is coming. You can decide which group you're going to be raised in. You will decide where your actions lead you, and it is Allah's mercy with which he enters us into Jannah. But for that, the requirements are Iman and our best of Amal to do and follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in our minds, there should be no doubts. There should be no disputes. Allahum anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun. Allahumma ahdini لما اختلف فيه من الحق إنك تهدي من تشاء إلى صراط مستقيم. O Allah, you judge between your slaves concerning where they differ in their opinions, in their faiths. O Allah, guide me in the disputed matters to the truth from you. For you are the only one who guides to the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among the true believers who have yaqeen in the akhirah, yaqeen of the day of judgment, yaqeen in Jannah as haqq, yaqeen in Jahannam as haqq, as if we see it. We should talk about it, we should reflect on it so much, as the Sahaba did, that they said, Ya Rasulullah, it's as real as we can see it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that level of reality so that our lives can change, and that then our concern would not be when is the Day of Judgment, but that we are among those privileged ones who look forward to the Day of Judgment, knowing that Allah will be pleased with us, knowing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be pleased to see us there. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those among his ummah who listen and obey and follow the best of admonitions. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.